The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised. Speaking of Molly, that's actually showing a video like we were talking about, that some of the new, a lot of the newer ones are definitely more cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
But that, her, what was it, the Wrecking Ball video was actually very simple. I mean, clearly it was green screen.
Yeah.
But it was also basically just her swinging
on the ball
back and forth for pretty much the entire video, slamming into shit.
I did like in that video, though, that she used the symbolism of a song about a wrecking ball by using a wrecking ball.
Oh.
I thought that was very subtle. I thought it was very well well featured in there.
Yeah.
It wasn't overplaying the hand at all.
Not at all. No.
I just
swing
think...
naked from the wrecking ball that symbolized her relationship.
And by the way, I don't think concrete would feel very good.
You know what? What's great about this area of music videos is that subset of X music video without the music.
Oh yes,
is some of the greatest art I have ever seen.
Although modern day, I'm really upset that pop-up videos isn't a thing anymore, because
I do miss that.
My gosh.
I definitely miss that.
With the modern ones, like that Wrecking Ball video, if they could do a pop-up video of the Wrecking Ball, I would watch the shit out of that video.
Oh yeah.
That's probably the only good, truly good thing
they
that
did
came
try
out
to
VH1.
Bring it back. But
that was a while ago though, right?
It was a while ago, and then nobody watched it because
nobody remembers.
Because VH1 is obsolete at this point.
Like, VH1's pretty much out of here. Like, I know VH1 Classic had a couple things going for it, but it's pretty much all reality too. Like, so it's
right.
I did start watching this reality show on VH1 called Girls Cruise with Little Kim, Chili from TLC, and Maya.
Nope.
She just takes her friends on a cruise.
What?
We only watch one episode.
And let me guess, they drink too much and then they get in a fight.
Chili doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
She does not drink.
Good for her.
She looks exactly the same. Maya looks exactly
probably
the same.
Probably she doesn't drink.
Little Kim looks like LaToya Jackson.
Black don't crack.
Oh.
I feel really bad. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you listen to her music, right? Clearly she was
doing some coke.
Yeah.
She was living it rough.
Not just, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what we're going to be doing is not necessarily coke. We're going to be talking about the people that did during the 80s and 90s.
So much cocaine.
So much, especially the 80s.
So much.
You look at some of these old music videos from the 80s, and it's like the director was on blow. They have the band was on blow.
It only makes sense if everyone was on cocaine.
You look at that God. She's My Cherry Pie video and tell me not every single fucking person involved wasn't on coke.
And now everyone's
I'm pretty
on Molly,
sure they,
I think.
Yeah, Molly.
Or design, some sort of designer drug.
Actually, those same people that were on coke back in those days are on, like, medications for their, like, inflamed body parts now, I think.
And they all have allergies.
Like, just look at Vince Neil. Just look at Vince Neil. That's what happens when you do blow in the 80s. You turn into Vince Neil now.
I'm pretty sure he's still doing blow.
He needs to do more.
Yeah.
It's not working.
He did enough blow to be bloated.
He's doing bloated, yes.
Yeah, bloated, yes. Yeah. But I mean, how you explain Tommy Lee then? He's still skinny as shit. He's like always been skinny.
If you have to heave around that massive dick all day, you put on a lot of pounds.
Burn
either.
Some fucking calories,
burn some
man.
Calories.
Thunk, thunk.
He also married like a 22-year-old.
Oh, so
that'll keep you young.
She was a Vine star and then tried to get famous and now
Vine.
She. Yeah, remember that?
Wow.
I saw it. And then she married Tommy Lee somehow. And now he's in her Instagram videos.
Now it's what? TikTok is the thing now, right?
Yeah, TikTok.
No, it's not.
Or is that not anymore?
It's a thing that the
my
kids use.
My 11-year-old niece loves TikTok.
My 14-year-old son loves TikTok.
So.
I think Tumblr calls TikTok Dark Vine.
Dark
oh,
Vine.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
The Vines, ooh.
All right, we should actually get going with this episode, I think. This is episode 171 of Geeks Under the Influence. We're going to be talking about MTV, not just the music videos, although that is definitely where we're starting. We're also going to be talking some of their original content they created, the birth of music videos, what it meant to the music industry, and then the slow decline and death of the music video on television anyway.
Aww.
Still going strong on places like YouTube and Vimeo, but music videos are less important to the television world as they used to be, with the advent of the internet and streaming services becoming almost as important as cable services. Music video has found a new format, and it seems to be a lot more independent than it was becoming on MTV, so I'm interested to talk about that. Our favorite videos, our favorite original content, some of the terrible reality shows that took over for the music videos on this episode of Geeks Under the Influence, episode 171. Welcome.
It's true. Yes, everyone wants to be like you. I bet you.
think you got back your dad joke cred.
What, because they actually mentioned MTV on that song
yes.
there and talking about wanting yes. to be a rock star? It was yes. a little on the nose, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm super so, okay with being on the nose.
On the nose like Wrecking Ball.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Except they're on the nose was being a rock star on MTV, so this is either an old song or really dated. So
nostalgia has a price tag on it nowadays.
That is true.
So.
That intro song was Rockstar by the band Something Dirty, so we'll have the link to that.
Ooh, yes. Something Dirty.
It's probably named after, like, something that a girlfriend said once. It's like, you know, say something dirty.
Something and he just dirty. Completely Ba-da-bom. Fucked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. So we'll have the link to that that song in our notes. And now to introduce the panel before we get moving forward. First timer on Geeks Under the Influence, Tori is here to talk about her love of the NSYNC primarily, right?
Oh, yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's your
for
main
sure.
love. I was about to say Backstreet Boys, and then you would just get up and leave, probably.
No,
just
not
unplug,
them.
Done.
They're okay.
They're okay. Oh, so you're like the wow. person like Star Wars and Star Trek where you're not like only in one camp. You're like you're primarily one camp, but you dabble.
She called them okay. I'm pretty sure she's planted her flag in yeah. the NSYNC camp.
She starts fires in the fall with old 98 Degrees CDs. Like there that's not, that's just not, even, not even worth listening
oh,
to.
God. Oh my gosh.
Wasn't there another one called Five?
Yes.
There was yeah. Five, O-Town, who was on Making the Band, oof. Who's reunited.
I totally forgot about O-Town, and like mm-hmm. most
and,
people.
And then there was the...
not I.
Then there was the Black Response, which was Take Five, and... what was the other one? Boys to Men.
Wait a minute.
Well,
Boys to Men is
you
no. Boys to Men actually. Boys
that was
Men, their vocal talents actually surpassed.
You could say
IMAX. I'm just saying they're in the same genre.
B2K, if you were gonna do boy band.
I think Boys to Men is more. That's more.
You could also go
school,
New Edition too.
That's closer to like Temptations than it is.
Yeah.
Like boy band.
No.
It's the evolution of that. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
You want to say boy band? I'd say New Edition.
I would
new
call edition. Boy band okay. an evolution of Motown with the five man harmony.
Hmm.
90 Degrees had four people,
I'd
though.
Say it's an evolution of the fucking Monkees. So.
There you go. Boys to Men, though, they're actually talented.
Nobody's going to bring up All for One. Come on.
Jodeci.
They did that song that was written by John Michael Montgomery, I Swear.
Oh my gosh.
Wasn't everything
Don't
had
you
a hit
dare
off
besmirch
cover?
The name of John Michael Montgomery.
I mean, he actually did write that song.
He did, but I'm just saying, don't bring it up.
We don't talk about that
I
here.
Think, I exactly. think all their hits were actually covers.
Very possibly.
Yeah.
Mm.
They were all for one hit wonder fodder, is what they were. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Newbie, also to Geeks Under the Influence, though, has been on Smack My Pitch Up before.
Yep.
My dungeon master for D&D, and we'll be hopefully be doing some stuff here on the network in the not too distant future. We got Jack here.
I don't know how I keep falling into this trap.
Of what, being on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you've been posting so much Dire Straits shit since I asked you to be on the show.
Yes.
That video is so tragically Minecraft that it's unbelievable.
It. You know what? It helped launch the network. So you can't, like, it is the original I Want My MTV.
And
you can't deny it.
Part of the only reason that video is important at all is because the channel itself was in dire straits with only having about five videos to go with the first like couple months that they were on.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I watched a little bit of a documentary on that they literally had like a very few videos that they just played on repeat. And people were like glued to it because they had never seen anything like it. They didn't know what to make of
it. That's just early cable networks in general.
Yeah. They're like, wait, so the channel's on from like 5 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the morning? That's amazing. So much less
break.
Time for Carol Ann to be sucked into the television. It's it's great.
Yeah.
Only a 3-hour window. It's fantastic. My right-hand man on my left also here to talk about music videos, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys?
You just dropped your new show on the network this week.
I did. I just dropped the first episode of From the Mouths of Madness.
I listened to it, and I very much enjoyed it.
Did you?
Well, anytime that you give Kyle Smash any issue, I tend to have fun with that. So. And so him coming on an episode to talk about Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, having not seen Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark,
oh yeah,
I very much enjoyed it.
He was
talk just, about underprepared.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he knew the stories, and I pointed that out, but no, he just, as soon as he walked in, the door was open for just he basically left bloody and bruised.
Yeah.
But no, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun, and forward to recording the next and getting that out too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm excited to talk about some of the old music videos from back in the day because they were fucking wild. Like the early days of music videos, up until like probably the early to mid 90s, they had no fucking idea what they were doing. Like you look at the
still don't.
And but there's the classic ones where it's like kind of adorable. They're starting to figure it out, like the Blind Melon No Rain video that everybody knows.
Oh, so it took them like 12 years to figure it out. 12 years. What you're saying?
Figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, yeah, they kind of could just get the shots right, the angles. Like, all that stuff was just terrible in a lot of these older videos, right?
Well, a lot of the older videos, if you look at it, a lot of it is just live footage. And true. Then just being like, I don't know, just show our live show. And people being like, okay, so, well, that's your live show. That's, ooh.
I mean, a lot of the original people who were making music videos, at least in the very beginning, were second string filmmakers. Either sure. They were rejects from TV filmmaking, or they were guys who couldn't make it in like actual making full productions until you get into the era of like truly massive amounts of budget with Michael Jackson getting Rick Baker to do his makeup for
Thriller.
Thriller.
Wasn't that John Landis directed that too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
because
shit.
Of American Werewolf in London.
Right.
John Landis, yeah.
You get John Landis, you get Rick Baker, and you get Vincent fucking Price.
Yeah.
Ah!
Like, that is superstar godlike budget, and it's a pure art. It's a short film.
Yeah.
Watching the entire thing, mm-hmm. and it's a completely redone, recut version of the song that only appears on the video.
Yep.
Like, it is full art at that point, but you couldn't get to that point until you had almost a decade's worth of second string filmmakers
like
making
that, nah.
Making the original music videos.
Well, wait, MTV started in 80?
Yeah.
1980, yep.
And Thriller came out in 84. So it only took them 4 years to get there.
Okay, well...
No, I'm just saying, like, but you're right, like, that's a lot of shit, but like...
Yeah, but imagine it went from, like, literally no one had music videos to everyone is now expected to have music videos for their hits.
True.
So there was a very steep learning curve at the first few years of MTV.
I think you bringing up Thriller is a good example of just... Also, Michael Jackson's video had a lot to do with that. Him as an artist, that had a lot to do with it, too.
He had a lot of moments where he was ahead of the curve.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
And I think him recognizing the potential of music video to like really accelerate the art form was something that nobody else was really on board with. And he had the money to be able to hire these amazing talents to support the vision.
Dance moves were ahead of time, ahead of its time. His singing voice for his age was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Being called out as a pervert was well before the Me Too movement.
Absolutely.
Like, so he was just like a decade ahead of everyone else.
Exactly.
With all of the shit.
Yeah. I mean, he has the most... Oh, Lord.
He's got dark.
He still has the most expensive music video of all time. Scream.
Yep.
Janet.
That's so sick.
That is
back then,
video.
It was like... 95, I think, and it was right after all those accusations, so it was him kind of like firing back, I guess, at that. But it was 7 million, and I think today it would be like 10 million. He has like two other, I think him and Madonna have like the top five most expensive videos of all time.
Geez.
It'd be really cool to see how much it cost what was that show, Glee, to redo that video, because they when they covered that song, they redid the video. And you're right, I love that fucking video. The way that shot
it's
is awesome.
Fantastic.
Right? Oh, yeah. It's fucking awesome. Definitely probably top five favorite Michael Jackson videos. All those ones were extravagant. As he went on in the 90s.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Remember the Time. Like all these bad, another mini story. I mean, extravagant. But that was, even though
that was one of his earlier ones.
Black or White.
Bad was 86 or 87.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Billie Jean.
Again, the lighting, that CGI.
Which was the one where he beat up the car, and that was like a whole thing when it came out.
Oh, the way he made me feel.
The way he made me feel, where people were like, yeah, he's showing himself to be too violent, and it was like a major issue because he like fucked up a car.
What?
Yeah, think about that.
Wow.
That was an issue at the time that he jumped on a car and the windows blew out, and that was like a whole thing where he's
I thought that was Billie Jean.
No, that was the way it made me feel.
Okay.
And then he was like, and they're like, you're showing, you're like inciting violence. There's going to be, today's youth are going to like run into the streets and start bashing cars.
I'm pretty sure with the knife fight between gangs was a little more on the nose than blowing up one car.
I don't want to be that guy, but that was Beat It, and that was off Thriller.
Sorry.
Mm.
I'm gonna, because that had Van Halen as the lead, as the guitar solo man. Yeah. Whoa, that was tasty.
You need to push up your Michael Jackson nerd glasses.
Dude, I will, because those two albums, especially Thriller and Bad, are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I love those albums.
I can't fault you for that.
Like, right? There you go.
They're
now
amazing.
That he's dead, he doesn't get the residuals, so it's fine to listen to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another video, though, that actually, I think, you know, broke down a barrier and really showed some creativity in the evolution of music videos was A-ha's Take On Me. That fucking video
absolutely
broke that down barriers, right?
That still holds up, too.
100%.
Right? Yeah. I watched it actually not too long before people started showing up to record tonight. And yeah, it starts
it's
off
still
as
amazing.
Comic book pages, and then just slowly it becomes animated, and then it's fully animated, then pulling in and out of like live action and animated well before Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does anyone remember when Family Guy like had the little
that was so amazing.
The bit where they pull Chris into like the store and then he like falls out of like the milk aisle and they're like, what happened? And he's like, I don't know.
It's amazing.
But that was how what 20 like 10, 15 years later?
Yeah.
15, probably?
Way more.
Yeah.
Well, then there's the literal music videos, which if you haven't seen those are great, where they just sing what's happening on the screen.
Oh.
And the one for Take On Me, it's like, pipe, wrench, fight, during the attack. It's pretty amazing.
But then you're right. There are a lot of just fucking absurd ones. I mean, look at any Talking Heads video or...
Devo.
Oh, God. Devo.
Whip It, where they're like whipping like stuff and clothes off the lady while wearing like whatever that is on their heads.
How about Depeche Mode? What the fuck does a being like in like the Texas have to do with personal Jesus? I never understood that fucking video. They're just like dressed up like sexy cowboys.
I mean, go watch the orgy video cover of Blue Monday and you tell me what the fuck they were thinking.
I actually never watched that video for that.
Oh, it's gross.
It's gross.
Well, then there was the Tom Petty, was it the Last Chance for Mary Jane? Last Dance for Mary Jane.
Dancing with a Corpse.
Where he's dancing with a corpse and like having dinner with a corpse and stuff. And it's like way dark for Tom. Free Fallen Petty.
Yeah, it's like these certain moments where you're like, oh, I thought I knew, understood what the song was about. And then you see the artist's actual interpretation of their lyrics in a music video and you're like, oh, I had the completely wrong
cocaine.
Idea.
Cocaine.
Yeah. Cocaine.
You look at Tom Petty's snaggled face and tell me he didn't do a lot of drugs in the 70s and 80s.
Of course he didn't.
He had cardiac issues when he passed. Mm-hmm. 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 I'm just saying, like, long-term coke use, you could get clean, but the damage is done, bro.
I don't want to be, like, the history nerd for this. But
you failed so far.
Yeah. As far as music videos go, like I think it's just an evolution of an art form. Like it's something that came out of stuff that had been happening for ages beforehand. Like there's always been music and spectacle and here, watch something amazing, on stage and somewhat on TV. And what MTV did was like draw that like spectacle of the truly odd and avant-garde operatic kind of presentation and made it consumable like a soda can instead of like having to have a 7-course meal to watch this kind of spectacle and choreography just to be able to see somebody do something amazing in music. I think MTV sort of gave that stage for people to be able to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of like a handmade bratwurst that you bought at a deli, they got you a 7-Eleven hot dog.
Yeah, but in time, it evolved away from that into coming back to that spectacle and that grand presentation.
And it evolved into a spicy bite.
Right.
Yes.
I think it's the DiGiorno pizza.
Yeah, right.
It's the DiGiorno pizza of the music world.
Okay.
Where it's like, we're gourmet, but you still make us in a microwave.
Mm.
Fair enough.
I just mean like you at points there was like entire dedicated programming blocks to we're gonna premiere the new music video for this one particular artist and we're making it a whole fucking day about getting to that one video.
Yeah.
And you're salivating, you're waiting there at 9 o'clock at night on TV.
What I loved was later, like in the early 2000s, they had Making the Video. And it was,
yes.
And I mean, mostly it was like the pop artists that they did, but I mean, it was still very interesting to watch all that stuff.
That was
and fun.
In that turn around 2000 is where everything started turning like different at MTV. Like TRL became an entirely different animal than it used to be. Like there was the reality shows started turning into like the weird celebrity like Road Rules and stuff. Like it was becoming its own little thing. But what I also found is that there was guilty pleasure in it, even for me, where they MTV's Cribs, where I was this punk rock dude that was like, no, fuck people showing off their wealth and stuff. That's some bullshit. Oh, Busta's on this episode.
No, dude. I could fuck reality TV, man. Yeah. I can't stand that shit, any of it.
No, it's one of those like watching an episode of Entourage where I'm not happy about it, but I did it anyway.
I would watch Entourage over a reality show. Sorry.
I mean, Entourage is basically like a non-reality version of a reality show, but
it's how it looks, man.
Yeah,
you
know, it's
like, that's what you get when Mark Wahlberg makes TV.
Yeah, fair enough, right?
But for Wahlberg me, I think it was actually in the 90s was the beginnings of with Real World.
Mm-hmm.
Real World, definitely. I think, was really the first show on MTV that wasn't music adjacent at their very least. They had people that, you know, liked music and stuff that were on it, but it was an entirely different thing. It was more about the Generation X kind of tone than it was the actual, like...
Wasn't that really the first reality show?
Pretty much. I mean,
yeah. I mean, besides from like prank TVs and...
Right. Yeah, like candid camera and stuff right. like that, mm-hmm. yeah.
But yeah, that and Road Rules were the pretty much, yeah.
It was the first, like, reality TV that wasn't actual reality TV, whereas like right. the pre-shot, like...
I think that was around the same time that MTV was trying to be like the nexus of everything that was Generation X. Like, not just music, but also like culture and the news and political activism. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Liquid Television, they were getting big on the like edgy animation. They got the Max show done on there, Eon Flux.
The Head.
The Head, yeah. They were doing like really edgy sketch comedy with The State. They were really trying to be on the forefront and like the voice of a generation, basically.
Right.
And for some of it, they were.
I mean, for a good chunk of time, they actually were the center of everything about what it was to be Generation X. And they curated to that. They wanted that. And people just sort of called it the MTV generation for the longest time.
Yep. Well, and part of that was also how you were consuming stuff at the time. You look at how you consume media now, and there are 20 different streaming sites that you go to figure out what you want to watch that evening, and there's documentaries on everything. There's music videos for everything, everywhere. Everything is immediately accessible through your phone, through your television, your computer, everything, even in your car. Like, anywhere you go, you have access to all the information that's ever happened ever. So there isn't one center place for an entire generation to get the nuances of the generation, the new art that's coming out, the new edgy music that's coming out, the cool shit, the edgy shit. That's everywhere. And there are little micro groups of people that are discovering different things. The generation is kind of like not united in their discovery of
stuff. There's no millennial television station.
No, and there couldn't be, I think, at this point, because it's so segregated between the people that are snorting condoms and the people that are flipping bottles. You know, like, there's just, it's two different groups. Whereas MTV, it was a place to find unity within your age bracket, where you could be like, this is where I go to see the new Nirvana song. Or this is where I go to see the cool new metal video on Headbangers Ball, or the new jam on MTV Raps. You know, like, that, you didn't have a lot of other options.
No, exactly. I mean, you know, we were the last generation that even got to experience that. I mean, I remember going to my friend's house for the weekend or whatever, and we're there's a bunch of us hanging out, and you know, they brought Headbangers Ball back out on MTV2 because they had to create MTV2 because of how fucking atrocious MTV got. So and we were stoked to see what new, you know, I remember the first Slipknot single, their video came out, you know, all that generation's metal came out, and that's where you saw the videos. Now, bands that I've been listening to for 12 or 15 years, you're right, like, I mean, everything I see, it shows me on YouTube. Like, it's like, bam. YouTube is now where you go to get your videos, you know?
Everything, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, but also early MTV didn't segregate at all. Like, everything was coming out there. Like, if a country music star made a music video, it was on MTV.
Oh, I mean, they super segregated because they didn't have hip-hop on there for the longest time until Blondie's Rapture came out, and they're like, oh, it's a white chick, so we can put this on.
Yeah.
It was a huge thing that they weren't having, like, black artists or rap artists on MTV. And I don't think it was them being directly racist necessarily so much as looking at what would be acceptable commercially viable. And so it was that whole thing with, let's say, the comic book industry with, well, a woman can't do a tentpole superhero film. And then Wonder Woman went, fuck you.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, okay, we're idiots. Was like when Walk This Way came out, or like the early hip hop videos started coming out, and they were like, okay, well, here's Yo MTV Raps, because clearly there's an audience for this.
Well, it was that, it's that always that evolution of like, it started off as people like, we got have a cable network, we're gonna like propagate this new art form, and then they became commercially successful, and they got paranoid about how much they could hold on to that success, so they wouldn't like put on anything that might offend, you know, white investors. And then they found out, oh, we can actually make money exploiting this. Well, and I think they realized, everybody is on.
They're like, well, white people aren't going to listen to hip hop music. So that's our main demographic is white demographic. And then they didn't think for a second, oh, white people have been stealing music from black people since there's been music. So, yes, of course, white people are going to be listening to hip hop music. And then you get Eminem. So there is a they just weren't thinking.
Yeah, and you know, Beastie Boys.
And Beastie Boys. Well, no,
well, not no. I'm not saying they stole any. Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was like a huge part of that too.
Like the actual story of Beastie Boys is they tried to be punk rock and they weren't good enough, so they started just doing rap.
But became they're amazing though.
No, they are. No, they're fantastic. I love the Beastie Boys. I'm not actually shitting on the Beastie. Okay, I'm a little.
But you know, Fight for Your Right. I mean, that was such a huge.
Oh, and Sabotage. That video for Sabotage. I think was it Gabe from Hustle Season mentioned Sabotage as his favorite video, and that video is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's like old 70s like detective.
Art form.
Yeah.
Right.
It was straight up. It's telling a story.
Yeah.
And that's when those videos started doing that, where you could tell the bands were actually having fun doing this now. Where they bought in. They were like, okay, this is cool. That's when they got good.
I think it's again, history nerd thing. It's that Renaissance level of artists started off doing stuff because they're artists. And then you got like the commercial investment to where they could actually take that vision to the next level. And there was just so much money in the market that they could just do whatever the hell they wanted and create something that was truly beautiful and unique and on its own. And it didn't necessarily have to be commercial in and of itself because they had enough money just floating around.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it's just sort of declined. And now it's more they need the investment. So they have to have like product placement just to be able to make music.
Yeah,
videos.
Fair enough.
Mm, yeah. I was going to say a music video that did a lot. And I thought was another one that kind of went out on the side and made it actually it opened a door for other music videos to come out. Like it was one, like that was one of the first videos that actually. There was always videos with clips of the band and then they go into something else, band something else. But they really didn't focus on the band from the neck up for the first part of the song, or in every shot. Right? They really focused on the music, the instruments, and the playing, and everything that in between that was the longer clips from the movie. What was it? Johnny's Got His Gun. It was a movie based on a book that got banned, and then the movie got banned about a kid who came back from war. Well, not a kid, but a young adult who came back from the war, and he had lost his arms and his legs in the war, and he basically couldn't talk, and he was just like couldn't respond and couldn't do anything, and he was just like a living stump basically. And the video, like they literally wrote the song based off that movie, and just having that movie involved, it's just, I mean. Verse for verse, shot for shot, it's kind of like
the song alone is amazing by itself, but actually watching the video, you have this context to it and this beautiful story that is horrific and just soul crushing, but at the same time it's amazing just to be able to view.
So that was, and also bringing in metal, because I know that one I don't think premiered on Headbangers Ball. I think that one premiered outside of it. I could be wrong, but
I'd have to look that up.
I think
Headbangers Ball was one of those shows, curated music shows, basically, that that I was obsessed with when I was coming up. I was talking about this before we started. We didn't really have cable from the time I was like 5 or 6 until about 17.
Yeah.
And so MTV for me was when I went over to a friend's house and I was able to sneak watching Beavis and Butthead and 120 Minutes and Insomniac Music Theater and Headbangers Ball and MTV Raps and all the stuff that, you know, my mom wouldn't really be super into me watching. And I got to like, so that adds additional coolness factor to it when you're told you're not allowed to watch it. And then it's these people telling you, you have to fight for your right to party. And they're like, yes, I do.
I do.
And so MTV always had this kind of like rebellious kind of tone to it because I was told I wasn't allowed to watch it and therefore had to. I think Headbangers Ball, that was a big one for me that turned me on to like genres of music that I wasn't exposed to at all. Like I had no idea that it was out there until until I was like, hey, take a look at these bands. This is a band called Anthrax.
That's why I wore the shirt, because
I mean I was a CMT nerd for most of my growing up because of my parents. And my introduction to like actual metal music was sitting in the back room of my buddy's house, and he's putting on like Rob Zombie. And that was my first exposure to anything like that. And like, I would obviously say, it's like, what the hell is this? It's like a revelation. And it's like, dude, do you not watch MTV? I'm like, what?
Well, then it's also a matter of like when you watched MTV. Because sometimes, you know, I had friends that only watched it for like an hour or two after they got off of school. And I had friends that they, you know, didn't have a bedtime and watched it late at night before they went to bed. You know, so depending on when you watched it, there was maybe a show that you caught that your friends didn't. So it was like a whole situation. But that's actually
don't bring up the situation.
Oh, God. Yeah. Speaking of MTV, we're going to get into those types of shows after the break. We're going to cut the break. We're going to do it a little differently than we normally do an episode where we cut and talk about some of our stuff. We're going to do that right on the episode. So we're going to break from the conversation about MTV and music videos and get into stuff going on around town and our sponsors. We got to give some love to our sponsors that help us do this crazy podcast here. Of course, we've been having the same sponsors for a little while now. We're coming up on a year of being with TeePublic. And we've been going for, I think, about 4 years with Amazon.com. So anytime that you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com in the top right-hand corner of the homepage, go through there to go to hit Amazon.com to pick up all those old CDs of the 90s bands that you listened to so deeply and dramatically as a teenager, and that you watched the videos on MTV or VH1. You learned some insights about the band from pop-up videos. You had like the poster on your wall. You can get those posters. You can get those CDs. You can get t-shirts of the band. You can get all that shit at Amazon.com. Just make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com, upper right hand corner of the homepage. And TeePublic, holy shit, do we have some stuff for you. We've got another couple designs for you. We've got the new design for From the Mouths of Madness, our newest show on the Geeks Under the Influence Network, hosted by Fuck You Hunter and Lowdown Brown. All horror-centric conversations on From the Mouths of Madness. So all the horror that we've had to miss just because we didn't have the time to put it in on Geeks Under the Influence, we're not missing anymore. We got a show made just for that. So go in there and check out their t-shirt design. Creepy shit, I love it. Available on our TeePublic store. Just go to GUIpodcast.com/store and click on the link to TeePublic. You can get t-shirts, stickers, coffee mugs, actually even buttons. Buttons are now available through TeePublic. We've got small and large size 2.25-inch and 1.25-inch buttons available through the TeePublic site. We also have, in honor of this episode and the Switch trivia that we're doing, we've got a MTV-inspired Geeks Under the Influence design available on the site the day that this episode drops. So go to TeePublic through our store at GYpodcast.com. Now for some of the events that are happening in town, we're just going to do a quick rundown because we have so many events at this point. We can't really just do a big old spiel about every one. It would take half the show. So right now, the more recent ones, the shows that are going to be happening before our next recording, we've got Switch Trivia on the 28th of August, and that's all 90s trivia. So that's 90s-tastic as hell. It's going to be back in 93, the Downstairs Bar at Switch, which is at 13 West Broad Street in Richmond, Virginia, 23220. And our next trivia nights, we've got the 2nd and the 16th of September at Fallout. And that's at 117 North 18th Street in Richmond, Virginia. Our buddy Carlton is doing Busky Comedy again on the 30th of August at 2910 West Lee Street in Richmond. And our next Booze Clues Live is back in the dark room, second floor of the Hoffheimer Building. That's 2818 West Broad Street, second floor in Richmond, Virginia, 23230 in Scott's Addition. So definitely come out to the live events. We have more info at GUIpodcast.com and all our social media as well. So follow us on our social media. Hit up the Booze Clues page to get some like articles that weren't good enough to make the actual Booze Clues episodes. And also to get some links to the articles that we covered on our live shows, links to some of the recordings from previous shows and all that. And also, Fallout Trivia has its own page. A lot of the stuff is linked on our Geeks Under the Influence page on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So follow our social media. All those links are at GUIpodcast.com. And we're back to talk about all things MTV. I want my MTV, and I want to talk about a lot of things that we haven't covered yet, like the original content. We've mentioned Beavis and Butthead. We've mentioned Liquid Television. We've mentioned a number of them, but we haven't really dug into it. We haven't even mentioned fucking Jackass yet.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Jesus.
And all the side shows that came off of that as well, like the BAM show and
CKY
oh and all that stuff. I mean, there's so much that we haven't dug into yet. But before we do that, we've got some other things to cover. And one of which is that we went a little bit too hardcore for a Thursday night, which is when we're recording this. We decided to get down and dirty with what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey,
we're drinking. We're getting drunk.
Yeah. You added that.
Oh, I had to add at the very end, Bo from our last episode from Avail. Yeah. He did a little bit of a sing-songy thing during our... And we blew his mind with our little tagline things that we had.
I'm not sure that's the right phrase. I think he just felt sorry for
us. He was actually like... We were joking that he was going to get up and leave the conversation, but yeah. We normally do a thing where we try to pair booze with the subject matter. So we're talking about music videos, we're talking about bands. We've got two really good pairings, I think, for a music-centric episode. Now, before we go into the actual pairings, I saw this and I had to get it to try it. I found the Pabst Blue Ribbon Easy.
Easy like Sunday morning.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Easy. When you want to drink like an asshole, but don't want the calories. Pabst Blue Ribbon Easy. This is apparently the low-calorie version, which is not that much lower calorie, if I remember correctly. It's not like the...
It was water before. Yeah. I mean, really cut back from that.
There were like 300 calories of beer or something before this.
They're like 110.
Diet water.
They cut it back.
They cut it back a decent amount. But
Where's the ABV on this bitch?
I mean, it's not on the regular PBRs normally, so...
That's true.
Yeah, so... It's definitely not as good.
I think
that's saying something.
I mean, I was hoping it was going to taste just like PBR, and I'd go, okay, well, cool. There's something missing out of it. It's just lost its luster.
I mean, it definitely has. I can tell it's PBR, but I think it just lost the stank.
The stank's missing. That's what it is.
The stank
is
missing.
It's just a staple.
It's
you can't go light.
You can't go light with the PBR. Yeah,
it's like it's like our version of BB King. The stank is gone.
Yeah.
The stank. Jesus, go, just leave.
The week I moved back to Richmond, Virginia, a friend of mine called me over to a local bar, and he insisted that I have one, and he just poured it on top of my margarita.
Ew.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way to do it.
That was my welcome home.
That's a PBR-garita. Yeah.
Oh, it was disturbing.
That sounds horrible. Ugh.
Why were you drinking a margarita in the first place, though?
Well, it was a taco place, so.
Not right. Well, I still don't condone that.
I mean, I will tell the full story when we're not on the recording.
Okay.
Yeah, margaritas are perfectly acceptable in a taco place. Just saying.
Yes. I agree, and I do not like tequila.
Exactly.
Now, there's a mixed bag of feelings about this next choice that we have here.
Mm.
In honor of the music episode that we're doing here, I got the Oscar Blues Brewing Company, Guns N' Rosé, Rosé Ale, ale with hibiscus and prickly pear. Now, there's a lot of flavors happening here.
I just get funk.
It's definitely a funkier beer. It's got kind of sour notes to it as well. So if you're a fan of sours, this might be up your alley.
Yeah.
This is a 6% ABV, so it's not overly heavy. It is crisp. It does say crisp AF on the can, and it is relatively crisp.
Crisp as fuck, bro. Yeah.
I like it.
When in doubt, pinky out.
You got some funk, you got some sour to it. That's a lot of the flavor punches right at the front. The crispness really kind of fills in the back end a little bit. I could drink this. I don't know if I would take an entire six pack of it myself, though. That might be a little bit too much for me. It's mm-hmm. a really flavorful beer, and it's got its own thing going, and I think that thing would be a beer or two's worth that I could handle before I'd be done with it.
Yeah, and you have those two right in front of you, because...
So yeah, I'd say
I'm done.
I don't hate it, but on the awesomeness by volume scale of 1 to 10, this is probably like 4 or 5 maybe for me.
Yeah, I'm giving it 3.
See, I'm snooty about what I drink as far as beers go. I will admit, as far as beers go, I prefer my darks. I prefer my stouts. So anything that even tastes like an IPA, I'm done with it. I'm over it.
This doesn't taste like an IPA.
No,
but
it's not IPA. No.
But a sour, I'm not there for it.
You're not into the sours.
I do get down with some sours.
I get down with some sours. There are some that I
brought you some sours that you've been very happy with.
That is true. You know how to pick a good sour.
I don't mind it. I give it like a 6.
A 6? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. It's above average.
Yeah. You like the funky beers, though. Like, you're not much of a beer person.
Yeah, I'm not a beer person. I like saisons and sours.
And I have noticed my friends that don't really appreciate beers normally will kind of lean on the sours a little bit and be better with those. So I think because they're not beer flavored, you know.
Not beer flavored beer.
Yeah, exactly. That's why.
Yeah.
I enjoy them.
So yeah, I'll definitely finish this. I mean, I'm going to enjoy the Guns N' Roses, but I don't know if that's something that I would regularly pick up. Which is unfortunate. It is Oscar Blues Brewing Company, which normally I'm very happy with their stuff. They do some really good beers.
Mm-hmm.
Which this is definitely not on the top of my list of their stuff, but it's not terrible. I'd say it's definitely different. It's doing its own thing.
I could drink this at the pool. I might get this for the pool.
Hey, you know what? This would be a decent pool beer.
There you go.
Great pool beer.
Yeah.
When we run out of White Claws.
Exactly. Exactly. Speaking of White Claws, Lowdown.
Yo.
What's up, bud?
Hey, man.
You brought something other than White Claw this evening to sip on.
I did, man. Summer's almost over, man.
It is. It is getting almost to good beer season.
Oh, I mean, the good beer's already here.
It's starting. Yeah.
Yeah, the O Fest is
the
out there.
The O Fest are out. Yep.
O Fest equals O Face. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, what are you drinking for your just casual drink this evening? You brought some fun.
Casual drink, I brought some East Coast Local. Actually, everything I brought is East Coast Local because I keep it real. Devil's Backbone Tart Cherry Hard Lemonade.
Nice.
And it's damn tasty. It's 6%.
That is tasty.
It's fucking delicious. It's not overly, it's like, sugar's not even in, I think, oh yeah, there it is. But I mean,
I was legitimately surprised tasting that. That was actually a lot better than I thought it was going to be just looking at the label.
No, it's tasty.
Yeah.
It's good
stuff. I would definitely pick up a 6 of that.
It's definitely a good, like, I bought that because I wanted, like, one more summer beer before I just dive into my fall stuff.
Yeah, right.
And, like, that was, or just summer alcoholic beverage. And that was, I think this was a good choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
And what's your share this evening? I'm very familiar with this.
The share is, we've had it before, but I think the last time we had this was, like, 3.5 years ago. It's three notched. Again, East Coast Local. Biggie S'mores Imperial Stout. I picked this because, I mean, Biggie Smalls, man. I mean, come on. How many videos do you have on MTV? Fuck.
Oh, a absolute fuck ton of videos.
Yeah, man. And it's delicious. It's apparently they used 80 boxes of honey made graham crackers somewhere in the making of this.
You can taste it.
It's delicious.
Oh yeah, it's got graham cracker on it. Mm-hmm. I went to a place that served this with a chocolate dipped rim with graham cracker crumbles on the outside. It was good for the first like couple sips, and then the graham crackers that got beer on it from the previous sips became really slimy and soggy from having been next to the beer. So like the presentation was beautiful. The first couple sips were delightful, and then it just got real gross and nasty.
That's just ridiculous and excessive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
but you know what? Sometimes you got to be extra.
I think
Richmond thrives on excessive and...
Yeah.
Richmond is fucking extra, dude.
Yeah. Richmond is extra.
No, I agree. Richmond is very extra.
And I feel like with that, you probably should just like taking your fingers and just slid around the rim of the glass and got it all off and now one big bite and a slug. Because it's fucking graham. So yes, it's going to get soggy.
Slimy hand of like chocolate and graham cracker
there,
crumbs.
There could have been that much.
You have napkins.
Seriously.
It's like licking it off my hand.
There's
like
no way there was
hobo.
Enough to fill up a hand. It had nope, to be, it could nope. literally have just
you
covered
it
a finger.
You do it sensuously. You order this drink while you're on a date so you can show your skills.
Oh, is that
that how is you, how that you is the, how you do that?
How you get the dates, the women?
I'm picturing this, and that would scare them away.
I just have graham crackers stuck in my beard and like pieces of like chocolate dripping off.
And there's like heavy
the
breathing
test,
involved,
my man. It's, like, it's the test because if they stick around after that, they are yours.
No, man, where you been? The test is
breathing
test.
Heavy, like, oh, yeah, it's so good.
Where you been at? The test is they got to lean over and unlock the door for you, man. That's the test. You ever seen a Bronx Tale? Come on, man. Fuck, man.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Really, you're getting love advice from a Bronx Tale. That's
no,
your...
You're getting
the gangster from the Bronx Tale who...
Chuck Palmieri.
Yeah, Chuck Palmieri.
That's your guru. That's your love guru.
I just thought
love
was, guru. I just Chuck thought that, Palmieri. I just thought it was funny that the kid took that to heart.
That's the name of the episode is Love Guru Chuck Palmieri.
There's nothing to do with anything, but yeah. You're a Chuck Bomb here.
All right, writing that down.
All right. But yeah, it's fucking delicious. I love it.
It is tasty. Absolutely. If you have a chance to get it, you're in the distribution area for it, I definitely suggest it. It is heavy, and it is a lot of flavor.
And it got 8% here, so it's going to tingle the balls a little bit.
It's not going to quite kick the dick, but it's going to maybe graze it.
It's a grazer. It's a grazer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we drink so that we can get ready for our next segment, which is known as Making a Drunken Scene.
Oh, goodness.
Making a Drunken Scene.
He listens.
It was becoming difficult to figure out something to do for Making a Drunken Scene until I thought, oh, of course, Beavis and Butthead Do America. But the number of times that they say sluts in...
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like every other fucking sentence.
I was
terrible.
You know,
after that
there's
bus
nothing
ride.
Wrong with that.
You know what? It's a thing of its time, and I'm not shitting on the movie necessarily. It just doesn't age well enough for us. That's to be something that we should.
I don't know about that. Yeah, yeah. I unabashedly call myself a slut.
No, a self slutitude is fine.
But when all literally it's not
just
like
call
a woman,
women
it's just sluts.
Yeah,
no,
that's true.
Women,
enough,
yeah,
true
yeah
enough,
not
true
so
enough.
Much. So I did find a two-parter that's fantastic from Beavis and Butthead Do America that they're just saying terrible things about each other.
There you go.
And we've also got a scene from Jackass from 2002, the first Jackass movie, both of which are. A whole lot. Just a whole lot.
Yeah. Steve-O talks a lot in this one. I don't know about that. God.
So, the way that we do Drunken Scene basically is you pick your accent or your impression or whatever you want to do for the character. It does not have to sound like the character. It can if you want.
Oh, shit.
But who wants to play Beavis?
I'll take Beavis.
I'll do Butthead, since host and co-host. So we're leaving Jackass up to you.
I'll take
Steve-O. You'll take Steve-O? Okay, so
all right, I'll do Bam.
You'll do Bam.
I'm about to be an asshole.
All right, well. So it starts off with Beavis and Butthead Do America from Jesus Christ, I saw this.
Yeah.
Too real.
96, motherfucker.
96. I was either a sophomore or a junior in high school when this came out, and I saw it opening night.
Hey, Hobbit.
Yeah.
I was in fifth grade.
Get out.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was also 10.
Call your mom to pick you up because you're done here.
Oh, but I did see it on HBO as soon as it dropped.
Oh, yeah.
I was in seventh grade. Yeah, I was 12. Yeah.
All right. Well.
All about those sluts when I was 10.
Oh, yeah.
Demi Moore and Bruce Willis.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Right before they became truly dysfunctional.
Yeah,
oh,
true.
God.
Right? No, fair.
Speaking of dysfunctional, let's get this moving forward here. So, lowdown as Beavis, me as Butthead.
Hey, Butthead, do you think we're ever going to score?
Wow, you just went matter-of-fact as fuck with it?
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Mm-hmm.
I probably will, but not you. You're too much of a butt monkey.
Your horrible fucking butthead impression is better.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think I was good at impressions? We've been doing this for almost 5 fucking years, and you're really surprised that I'm bad at a fucking impression? How have you not been paying attention for close to 5 fucking years that I go bad with a cartoon character, and you're like, oh my god, that was rough. Did you think it would be good?
That was just in response to your shit. All right.
Oh my god.
Let me see if I can try to be pretty good.
Shut up, yo.
There we go. Okay, that's solid.
Yeah, okay.
See, that's how you're a supportive friend, by saying stuff like that. See how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Shut up, Dill. That's exactly how I'm supportive.
Oh, butt dumpling.
Turd burglar.
Ass goblin.
Shut up, buddy. Hey, doesn't Tom Anderson live on the street?
Yep.
Because I just need to stop by his tool shed for a few minutes.
Tool.
Bang.
Right. That's
something.
I need to get somebody that's good at drawing to do us as Beavis and Butthead for a t-shirt.
Yeah, in the middle of the Beavis and Butthead scene, you all became Beavis and Butthead.
Pretty much. I mean, we were kind of before that, so
fair.
Wasn't a very long transition. Now we got Jackass from 2002, and Tori is Bam, and Jack will be Steve-O whenever you guys are ready.
All right. So just to recap, Dunn has put a toy car in his butt.
Oh, yeah. That's an important plot point.
It is important.
Yes.
So why couldn't you do this? Because your dad would disown you?
Well, no,
Dude, you drink wine off a dude's ass crack.
Well, my dad never saw that, never told him that. I went to him and said, listen, Dad, we're going hard these days, and there's some ideas floating around, and I just mentioned the toy car and the butt thing. And then he said, you know, it's... when, like, your parents said, I'm not mad at you, just disappointed. And, you know, that hurts so much more.
You sound like you're doing an impression of Andy Samberg doing an impression of Nicolas Cage.
I'll take that. Yeah. I'll take that.
Nice.
Why wasn't I in that movie?
Come on. We do have to have one making a drunken scene at some point where we got to do a Nick Cage episode eventually.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, it's yes. Clearly has to be done.
We'll and know then, when the time's right. There's going to be something he's going to do that just trumps everything else. We're like, yes.
Jesus. Like, what does he have to do next?
I mean, because he did Mandy. So.
Oh, God.
Well, right before Mandy, he did Mom and Dad, which is. Yeah.
No,
God
he
damn.
Did Ghost Rider 2. He came back for a sequel.
Paycheck. He came back for a paycheck.
No, not just a paycheck. He went crazier than normal. Nick Cage went crazier than normal on that.
Well, and then
movie.
He was like, you know what? I don't think Ghost Rider is enough. I'm going to do Car Ghost Rider, and did Drive Angry, which is basically a Ghost Rider movie, but in a car.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's true. So, and like, he was also, didn't he like... I don't know. He was about drinking like Jack Daniels and driving angry in that movie, right?
Yeah,
I feel like that
much.
Was the main premise of that.
That was around the time that he was spending $1 million a day.
I think we've segued.
Also, another spinoff of Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh my God!
Oh
please.
No!
Let's
roll out.
Let's
wrap it up.
Yeah, right.
Roll out.
All right, so yeah, we're done with drunken scenes. So we can get back into MTV. So yeah, we talked about Beavis and Butthead. We talked about Jackass. That's a perfect segue. I mean, I loved Jackass when it first came out because it was the. It was more extreme versions of the dumb shit my friends and I used to do back in the day. We used to jump off roofs. We used to build skate ramps with used pieces of wood and bent nails. And then it would turn into dust as we hit it and we'd almost die and then just laugh it off and do it again. That was just a running thing. I mean, I don't know how I survived my teenage years, my childhood through teenage years, because I did so much dumb shit that like the Jackass guys were doing.
I mean, I think it's part of that whole helicopter parent phenomenon that we see in the early 2000s was a direct result of that generation, the MTV generation, putting on TV what we were actually fucking doing.
You know what?
Yeah.
That's probably relatively fair because, yeah, we did some dumb shit. We used to, I think they did it in Jackass, the shopping cart jousting. We used to actually, and shopping cart races and shit.
We
used to do that all the time.
We still do that now.
Okay, well.
Shopping cart jousting. Mm.
So yeah, Jackass, that was a big, big fun time for me. I saw the first movie in the theaters.
You would.
I did. I thought it was rad, but I was hanging out with like my Jackass friends, you know.
I did too.
Yeah.
I saw the first one. I did not see two.
No, I never saw any of the other ones.
Honestly, I've never actually sat down and watched any of them.
Really?
It's just not been my thing.
It's a combination of both like, you guys are such fucking assholes and like, and cringe-worthy shit. And just utter hilarity of them just being absolute terrible people.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I see the clips plenty. Like the giant high five right to your face.
Oh, yeah.
And the shot with a gun full of dicks. You know, I've seen that.
Because that led to that whole crew, part of that whole crew, and then them having separate spinoffs. And you had like the Bam Margera show where, I mean, he is so terrible. He was so terrible to everyone. Like family. I'm like, no, I get it. Like, you don't like your family at some point. That's everybody at some point does not like their family, right? You go to a family holiday thing. After a few hours, you're probably going to step outside so you don't murder somebody for something, right? That's how family works. He is terrible to his family, or was at that point.
I mean, to be fair, though, they were on the show, too. They were all getting paid.
Oh, yeah.
They were all making money.
They were making money, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
They may not have been told exactly what was going to happen.
That is true. There was genuinely his mom seemed genuinely surprised at a lot of things.
Oh, like when an alligator was in their house and she's yes. like, I can't.
And like, what was it? The uncle.
Don Vito,
yeah. Like, they used mm-hmm. to constantly fuck with him in the bathroom. I'm yeah. like, that's terrible.
Oh, with plungers and shit?
Yeah. It's fucking terrible. Remember that episode when he just, so like, cut funny. Up his fucking Hummer? I'm like, you rich fuck. You're just, like, chopping up your Hummer? The fuck is wrong
that
with you?
That was meant for high school kids.
Oh, so. It was.
Like, I was in high school when that was happening.
It was all the daydreams of what you would do if you had endless amounts of money and your parents just had to deal with it. Because mm-hmm. you were the one that made all the money.
Yeah, it's like, you can't do anything because I paid for all this. Yeah. Where you're living, everything.
And speaking of generational influences, I'm pretty sure that influence is why we have some of the jackassery that we have from the people in my age group. Like, they grew up watching that and thinking, I could do that. I can get away with that. No. I wouldn't get in trouble for doing that.
Well, no. I like that. It's not even millennials. It's the generation after millennials that are doing like Z or whatever. That they mm-hmm. haven't been given a real name yet, I think, at this point. Those are the ones sniffing the condoms and doing the Tide Pod Challenge and stuff like that. But they're acting like this is a brand new phenomenon. Like, teenage kids or preteens haven't done dumbass shit before this. Since the dawn of time, mankind that age has done immensely stupid shit.
Well, I think this. I think in the advent of the MTV generation, this was the first time it was really being advertised in uncut versions of exactly how stupid we could be.
Mm-hmm.
Truth.
Well, stuff that you would get in deep trouble for doing. Now, what's the game where you flip the nail and you try to hit it in midair to hit the stump?
What
the fuck are you talking about?
I forget
about?
The name of the game, but you like you are. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think
okay, so. See, when I was growing up, the game was you had a piece of cut off electrical cord, you wrapped it around two nails, you put it in a board, and you see how long you could hold your fingers onto the two nails.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. We were stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's my point. It's like, we weren't, when I was doing that in middle school and high school, we weren't filming it and putting it online or advertising it on TV for people to watch.
No, it's because mm-hmm. we didn't have the technology.
Yeah.
If we had the technology, we would have been filming it and putting it online.
People in the 60s doing mm-hmm. this same dumbass shit.
Absolutely.
It just wasn't on TV.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like now, if I were to do shit, not just because I'm older, but like, just if I were to do dumb shit, I don't necessarily know if I want somebody filming it. I feel mm-hmm. like some of this dumb shit, it's part of it is it's in the moment thing, right? Like, you don't need you have the memory, you don't need to like have a video to go back and look at, right? To like remember what dumb shit you did. You just did the dumb shit and you don't forget mm-hmm. the dumb shit you did, you know?
But again, the part of that influence of the TV of TV is that they did it and they got famous for putting it on TV.
Yeah, true.
I'd say that's the precursor, but I don't think that's the actual reason. I think it was when their genuine peers, I think it was YouTube. Celebrities, but when people that they went to fucking school with got, you know, a million hits on YouTube because they slipped on a basketball running down the driveway or, mm-hmm. and then that turned into doing dumb shit on purpose or injuring
yeet.
Each other. All the dumb shit. And then when it was peers, they were like, okay, well, then anyone can be a celebrity. And it's not real celebrity. It's, you're known as the yeet guy or whatever.
You can make a slight argument that all that could have been based on, like, America's Funniest Home Videos because just a very, very hard R-rated version of it.
Yeah, because Jackass is basically, like, intentional America's Funniest Home Videos.
See, it's intentional.
America's Funniest Home Videos ran
off the spontaneity of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were just filming first this thing, and it just happened to happen during the thing.
Right? Of course, a good chunk of that was also the commentary that was coming with it.
Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Oh, God, Bob Saget.
Back before he censored himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like, side note, I could be wrong on this, but the very last America's Funniest Home Videos that he hosted, did he not talk about having a penis cam? I swear, like, it showed, he said he had a penis cam, and then it showed, like, a view of the crowd from his crotch, because he, like, showed him, like, undo his zipper and, like, open up his crotch and say he had a penis.
Maybe.
He probably said, fuck it, on his last episode.
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's like, fuck it, what are they going to do, fire me? I'm out. And, like, then you got mm-hmm. to see the real Bob Saget, like, where his fucking stand-up is so raunchy. Oh, my God.
It really, really blows your mind when, like, you realize that comedians like Bob Saget and Howie Mandel are remembered as being kind of these family icons. Yeah. And then you actually watch where their comedy came from and you're like, what the f-? Like, the original Bobby character that Howie Mandel came up with is nothing like the TV show. He's
really?
Like, oh, you mean like Bobby's World?
Bobby's World, yeah. The Bobby character that Howie Mandel came up with would like kill fucking pets and like tear their heads off.
So he's like serial killer.
Yeah.
It's like pre
Yeah, it was like Stewie too, yeah. from Family Guy, but worse.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The original Bobby was not children appropriate.
Yikes.
Right, now we are getting towards the end of the show here. So I did want to kind of like touch base a little bit on Liquid Television. We mentioned it, but like so much of my love of like edgy, weird shit came from Liquid Television.
Absolutely.
The Max, Eon Flux. They had little bits that were thrown in.
I might be on the outlier here, but I absolutely blame Aeon Flux for the look and the feel of Lilu in The Fifth Element.
Oh, yeah.
The whole they changed color, but the whole costume was,
totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just directly rip off from Aeon Flux, and Aeon Flux being a French
inspired
sci-fi, and then Luc Besson just coming right back on the feedback loop of it, like... Mm-hmm. Putting back into French sci-fi from an American perspective.
Yeah.
Like, I like, that's completely, Fifth Element exists because MTV took a chance and started doing animation.
And it's unfortunate that the Aeon Flux movie is terrible.
Nothing.
It's fucking horrible.
Like, if I want an Aeon Flux movie, I go to Fifth Element. I can't go to the Aeon Flux movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrible, dude. Right?
So terrible.
Who was that? Who was she?
Charlize Theron.
Was it her?
It
was.
Yes.
Oh,
Oscar-winning actress.
I don't like saying she's a bad act because she's a crush.
Well, unfortunately,
you can only do so much with the material you're given.
Unfortunately, in the earlier parts of her career, especially in the time that she was making
Monster?
That movie,
was she a monster?
No, it's before Monster. Mm-hmm. Okay. She would make these sort of demands that, like, sort of cut back what they could do with the movie. Like, she wouldn't do partial nudity back then. And as her career has progressed, she has become a lot more like willing to do things on film that she wasn't willing to do in the earlier parts of her career.
That's actually smart because it sounds like she didn't want to be known for doing the things. She wanted to have a career first and then let me do the things.
And be able to make that determination on her own.
Yeah, I like that.
Absolutely.
That's rad.
She is still one of my favorite actresses to watch on screen.
And is she not aged like fucking wine too?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh my God, she's gotten like even more like... Unbelievably more beautiful.
Yeah.
Than, like,
I mean, anyone who watched Fury Road and did not have a revelation at her performance as Furiosa.
Oh, it was incredible.
Right? I mean, everything about that character was hot. Like, I mean, just the personality, her whole portrayal of that character.
We're segueing.
One show that I was deeply obsessed with on MTV, and I thought that everybody was very aware of the show, but apparently not everybody was. Does anyone remember the Syphil and Ollie show?
No.
No.
I do not
the
at all.
The sock puppets?
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Sock puppets.
And Ollie.
I didn't know the name. I remember the sock puppets.
I do remember the sock puppets.
That's where the, was it Liam Lynch or whatever, the My United States or whatever came from Syphil and Ollie show.
My United States.
And they had the llama song. The llamas are coming. It was the whole thing. Like, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. That was in the 90s when there was still a little bit of weird happening with MTV where they were doing the shit like that.
They were still trying to figure themselves out as like an imprint. Well, and I think they were willing to be more avant-garde with
it. I'm wondering, and I should have looked into this, if that MTV was sold to a different network or like a big conglomerate at any point, and that's when the image really got cleaned up a lot. It was around the same time as American Idol was getting really big on broadcast television, and Real World and Road Rules were combining forces to do like road trip shit.
The challenge.
Gross. The challenges, and you know, Britney Spears did the Crossroads movie or whatever she was in.
Huh?
And
Crossroads.
She did a movie called Crossroads.
I had no idea.
Where she's saying, I love rock and roll. And when she was asked why that was added into the movie, if she was a fan, and she's like, oh yeah, I love Pat Benatar.
That's on her album, one of her albums. She did a music video for that. I have a lot
just
of thoughts
a casual
about
reminder,
Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Just a casual reminder. Britney Spears is white trash fabulous.
Oh, she did date, was it Federline?
Yeah,
one of her,
she was married.
One of her dancers.
one of trash. Her dancers.
For he, like was trash. Hours. He was like yeah. Ed Hardy's leftovers. Okay,
you know
that was Kev. That was K-Fed.
He was proto affliction T-shirt.
Proto.
Britney Spears has dealt with a lot of stuff,
yeah.
And I love her. And
leave Britney alone.
Yeah, everyone and their Britney, they're, yes, like, it's Britney, bitch! I know.
I think, and
I still give her credit for Toxic.
That's a good song.
I'm looking at this from a perspective all my own, which is I came from the kind of the alternative perspective. It's like one of my favorite videos ever is Dinosaur Jr.'s Feel the Pain, where they're playing golf through New York City on top of buildings and stuff.
Song.
Fucking
see,
amazing.
Really see,
song.
Mine was always Do the Evolution from Pearl Jam.
Oh.
Really?
Like,
I just never would have thought that.
Todd McFarlane animated the entire music video.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, the animation was sick, but I didn't know it was
Todd McFarlane. Yeah, it was Todd McFarlane. It was right before he did the Spawn TV show for HBO.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah.
The best Spawn ever.
The only Spawn.
There you go. Wait, the new one hasn't dropped yet, so we'll say that right now.
But,
around
that's a whole sidebar conversation we're going to have after.
Mm. Early to mid-90s is when it went from like the grunge era stuff going into ska and punk rock becoming really big and being the main sweethearts of MTV, and post mid-90s, so like 96 on, is when it really started focusing on boy bands and pop music and hip-hop artists, like, but not like the
I think
grizzled hip-hop artists.
Hallelujah.
The 90s, but like, yeah, your era of stuff. But it cleaned up a lot. It became
it really did
less edgy. It became less weird. It became more
pop culture.
Yeah, like
legit
widely acceptable, like pop culture. It wasn't quite as like in your face, we're representing Gen X anymore. And it might have been that our generation was kind of growing up a bit and they were more focusing on the generation behind that. But
I don't think it's necessarily a generational divide. I think it's because TRL became such a huge hit and the sheer nature of TRL being a popular vote show became an issue of like, what is the most popular? What is the most commercially viable?
Yeah, I watched TRL every day after show. I went there with my sister. We were in New York, and we went.
Nice.
Yeah, we didn't get in the audience, but we were outside of the window, and then like we recorded it, and you saw us like on the video. But Usher was there, and he was promoting his album, and I remember they were handing out promotional posters, all those posters that you see girls holding, and then there was these people, they were crazy Usher fans, and I remember being like, I love NSYNC. And then the girl was just like, we all Usher here. What are you doing here? You don't know anything about Usher. I was like, I like Usher. And she was real serious and she pulled my hair. It was getting real heated up in there.
You're about to have a fight. You're about to get...
It was... I also remember it because we were there for the day and we walked by the Twin Towers and it was a month before.
Oh, wow.
And it was... That was my first time in New York. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so cool.
Damn. Like,
so there was like another, but I mean, it was really cool being there. But yeah, TRL was such a huge part. Yeah, that was 2001. It was August 2001.
Yeah, no, I've been saying that's the timestamp. Like literally a month before fucking Christ. Woo.
Yep.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was because his album was 8701. So it was August 7th, 2001.
And
so I remember the specific day.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But I mean, I remember when TRL wasn't so like, it became huge, but I remember like Manson debuted on that as an audience member and then like jokingly pulled him up on stage like, oh yeah, Marilyn Manson, your new band, blah, 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 your album's coming out. Like, you know, that was what, 94, 95?
Yeah.
You know?
So you look at the big difference between like the beginning part of that decade to the end part of that decade where they're cracking jokes with Marilyn Manson.
And in the end decade, they're playing fucking Thumbawamba.
Or Mariah Carey's having her weird breakdown and pulling her...
Yes, the ice cream.
Yeah.
When she bought the ice cream.
Yeah, that was so bizarre.
But you can tell people about that. And like, I watched it. I watched it happen. I was watching it after school. Like, what is happening? And that was the talk at school the next day. Did you see Mariah Carey? This is crazy.
Yeah.
She's
I mean,
nuts.
The hosts of that show end up getting their own talk show.
Carson Daly.
Yeah, he's still...
He's so old and like...
He's still... He's on the Today Show, I think.
Yeah, he is.
He doesn't host. He doesn't have the last call
anymore.
The
VJs. There was Downtown Julie Brown. Was the first major one.
Oof.
And then there was Matt Pinfield, Kurt Loder.
Yeah, hold on. We didn't talk about Ricky Rackman. Goddammit.
Oh, Ricky Rackman.
Come on, man.
And this. And what was the? What was
original?
Ricky Rackman. Yeah, yeah. And then there was the VJ, like in the early to mid 90s, Jesse, that was in Jesse and the Street Rats, and he was just like
Jesse
glam rocker.
Camp?
Jesse Sway? Camp, I think, yeah.
Does anyone remember Sway?
Yes.
Oh, Sway, yeah.
Your boy Sway here.
Your boy Sway, yeah.
He's still doing ridiculous. His thing.
MTV was also where Mr. Nerdist himself got his start.
Hardwick
on Singled Out. That's where he got his start.
I want to go back and watch those.
I mean,
amazing.
Yeah. I must have been one of the nerds that was actually watching MTV for the news when it was actually
dedicated to
showing
the news. I did too.
I mean, it was
thing.
Yeah. Not just music news. They did actual news journalism reporting out of MTV. And I think it was really underplayed. And I think that was one of the parts of the legacy that's changed in the past 10, 15 years.
That died off like before the late night. I feel like that stopped.
Yeah. But I think that was actually a valuable thing that they were doing because it was a news organization that wasn't beholden to any other major news outlet.
It would have been now, though. It would have been now, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't really do that now and be taken seriously as a news organization.
And
or
that's
at least
the unfortunate part.
The notice, because there's so many voices screaming, you need to have that money to back you up to be heard.
Exactly. I think that's the truly unfortunate part is that they gave up before they could be truly influential.
It's crazy how many things I found out about, like, news-wise from MTV, from watching MTV.
Well, it's
like,
smart.
Like, people dying, like, Leah's death, I found out I was watching MTV, and they announced it, and other things like that. It's just, like, crazy.
The youth of America to pay attention to the news is you incorporate it into the shit they're watching anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Boom, done.
Yeah.
Engagement. Exactly.
But both, you bring up deaths, like, both Kurt Cobain's and, and I didn't listen to it, but, like, it came across with Selena.
Yes.
Oh,
like
God.
That came across MTV News. Like, they literally stopped. I remember they stopped a video because she blew the fuck up in America, right?
Exactly.
And, like, her album hadn't even really dropped yet when she got
my
shot.
Heart.
Video, if you can find it, is when they were making the announcement of Kurt Cobain's death, and Kurt Loder was the one talking about it, and he got fucking choked up on the air.
Yes.
Talking about
Kurt Cobain. Because he had met him and interviewed him.
Gives me chills.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and if you can find that clip, I'm sure you can. I mean, it's a well known clip.
I mean,
then check it out. Like, it's emotional.
It's almost gotten to the point of, like, parody of Rock the Vote. Is it was started by a music organization trying to tell our generations, like, you need to go out and be participants and, like, actually affect the country that you're in. Mm-hmm. And that was MTV. Like, you cannot downplay how much influence they had. And sort of dropped off because we needed ratings instead of, like, being an advocacy.
Yeah.
They wanted to show Teen Moms.
Yeah, you know what's more important than the news?
Know,
yeah.
Teen Moms.
Or Interventions or whatever the fuck.
Or Super Sweet. As long as the Sweet 16s are super sweet, then that's definitely important.
Ugh. All right.
Then, on that note, before we conclude here, I want to kind of have everybody just kind of shout out some of their favorite music videos, just of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that you think are well worth a watch, just for the music video side of things. Not necessarily maybe a band that you're that into. Or that you are, but a video that it's like really worth a watch.
Dragula, Rob Zombie.
Okay.
You talking from a time period or from any?
From any period. I've got a few from fans here. Bruce McCraw said, Butthole Surfers, who was in my room last night? We've got Brandon Barrett with November Rain, even though it's cliche, as he put it. But yeah, you know what?
No, it's still artistic.
The video's fucking good.
Amazingly
video's pretty,
well done.
Really fucking solid.
Yeah, it's a solid video. And then Dave Munoz with Slayer Seasons in the Abyss.
Oh, you bastard.
The season. No, I'm joking.
I'm
cinematography was sick. And yes, it was.
Fucking.
It's going to be me, NSYNC.
Okay.
Of course.
You say it right.
It's gonna be mine.
Yeah.
It was great. It's still, they were so creative. I mean, they didn't just dance in front of chairs.
Is that the one where they were puppets?
That was Bye Bye Bye. The other one, they were like dolls in a toy store, and they actually wore makeup to look like dolls.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay.
I just thought it was a really creative video, and they had making the video for it, which was even more fun.
There's a artist by the name of Mike Snow. He's a DJ type dude.
Yes.
His song Genghis Khan is like an old James Bond type setup, but like the villain and James Bond have like the secret love affair thing going on, and it's fucking incredible.
It is beautiful.
It's amazing. Also, his song Pull My Trigger, which is like the Cold War and Russia and the United States like getting close to pushing the button. And it's fucking, and there's dance sequences around this giant red button. It's fucking great.
Oh, I think I'm going to really out myself on this one, but Telephone with Beyonce and Lady Gaga.
I love it.
Well, we've already talked about some of my favorite videos, but current ones that I do have that really made the list was Slayer's Repentless with the prison whole movie thing with the prison and Danny Trejo, and there's just a lot of gore and blood and prison riot. It's pretty fucking rad.
Oh, Nine Inch Nails, Happiness and Slavery.
Ooh, yeah,
that's a lot.
But one that I've come across that I really liked is it's super new. It's by a hip hop artist. NF, it's called. NF is the rap is the name of the artist, and then just Leave Me Alone is the name of the song. That's a really artsy fucking video.
Nice,
like not mm-hmm. just yeah, it's very well put together as far as what he's trying to convey, mirroring the song. So
going classic as hell, Claymation video. Three Little Pigs by Green Jello.
Oh!
Ooh.
Yeah, a classic.
Jelly.
Green Jelly now.
He's a fuck... Yeah, fair.
Yeah, they were Green Jello, and then they got sued by Jello.
Yeah.
And they turned into Green Jelly. That's literally true. That's
gonna,
actually how it happened.
I thought you were going to say California Raisins for a second. I'm like, wait a minute, bro.
No.
Favorite that, music videos.
Really,
California
that's the
Raisins.
I heard it through the Grapevine video. That's really where, hey, where they shined.
Smack, smack, smack.
I really like Dare by Gorillaz.
Oh, okay. It is. Yeah.
I mean, all their videos are fine. I mean, I just
yeah.
This one with like the lighthouse and all that, like the weird head, like Zordon.
Feel good. Feel the one where it's the guy's head is just yeah. there.
Yeah,
and it's just the dude's head.
Yeah,
he's like it's there.
If you want to talk about Gorillaz, I personally thought Tomorrow Comes Today is one of the more like yeah. artistic ones.
Okay.
Speaking of artistic, the singer of Radiohead has a little short on Netflix right now, a little like basically Ooh. Music video yeah. that I think it's Spike Jones. I want to say Spike oh, Jones wow. did something with him. It's called, I think it's Anima is what it's called, A-N-I-M-A. And it's a little 20-minute short that's on there, and it's just all just ridiculous. His solo stuff, Tom York. Along with just weird music video cinematography. It's basically a 20-minute like instrumental music video kind of thing going on. So,
touching back on your mention with Claymation, for me, that's got to be Alice in Chains, I Stay Away.
Okay.
That's a really creepy fucking Claymation video with the circus and the go.
Ooh. Oingo Boingo, Insanity.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, as much as I hate the fucking band, yeah. I thought it was so... No, not that. Not Oingo Boingo. I fucking love Oingo Boingo.
Oh,
don't give
okay.
me shit. No,
yeah,
like,
oh,
yeah.
Well.
No, Collective Soul, The World That I Know, where he's
that
like
was,
looking
yes.
at the ants, and then he's looking at the people down at the bottom. He's about to jump off the building, and he's like, no, I want to live. And at 12, that was effective.
No, that you know, that was yeah. that was that video was very well
And then, then also, on the other end, KMFDM's Drug Against War video.
Fuck
is
yes.
fucking amazing. But also, you've got to recognize that one thing that also happened is that movie soundtracks became way more important after the birth of the music
yeah.
video, because you got all the Top Gun stuff, where they got to incorporate the volleyball scenes and shit. You know, like that it became a major part of the advertising for a movie.
I want to drop two because they're from the same band and actually off the same album. Slipknot's Before I Forget, because that's the first time they actually took their masks off so people could see their actual face, the third album.
Yeah.
And even in the video, they only show their mouth. Like, Corey only shows his mouth singing into the mic,
mm-hmm.
but it shows the mask hanging from each individual artist's thing. So you knew they were not wearing them, so it kind of gave the illusion to in the future you're going to see their actual faces, because no mm-hmm. one knew what they looked like. They were very hardcore about that, which wouldn't work today,
yeah.
like
yeah.
know, some 15, 16 years later.
Yeah.
And then their video for Vermillion, which was all done in stop motion, and very fucking creepy and scary.
I'm such a punk for this, but... Sum 41's What We're All About off of the first Spider-Man movie soundtrack.
Is that the one that had Kerry King in it?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good, that was actually
right.
a rad song, dude.
That was an amazing Dating. Song.
Sum 41, yeah. actually, the shit that they first got famous for is nothing like the shit they actually put on their albums.
Right.
No.
I'll give them that. They're showing the albums like fucking...
And their side their side band of Pain for Pleasure is amazing. Okay, so they put out this one video called Pain for Pleasure, and it's them pretty much doing like Black Sabbath style metal for like a minute and a half. They have a side band that they just do that kind of metal music as Sum 41, but they just call it Pain for Pleasure.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh.
It is surprisingly good.
I mean, I got stuck on We're All to Blame because that's like metal as fuck. It's not even like a punk song, really. It's like metal as fuck. And I'm like, now they're Sabbath-y? Ooh.
Yeah.
It gives me the tingles.
Now, on the way out, I also got to make mention, especially with the new album coming out in just like a week or so, all the early Tool music videos
were
incredible. Props
to them. The first live footage of fucking Sober where he's wearing that like onesie, pink onesie thing. Yeah. Fucking Christ, man. You're like, he's just, but like, the rawness in that video. You don't have like, you're like, no, there's something is off with this dude. Like, is what you basically got with the video.
But also, I will say, like, post 2000, like, when Britney was making her fucking comeback after having all the shit happen and she went into, like, Toxic and Slave for You and all that stuff. I got to say, as much as I'm not a fan of the music, I was just like, okay, you got rid of the whole, like, I'm not that innocent, like, schoolgirl thing. And just like, no, I fuck.
Like, yeah.
When she went to I fuck era, I'm like, you know what? I appreciate this more.
Me and Justin fuck.
I love that when Justin was on SNL and he was doing the like whole like immigrant into United.
And
he like straight up just like everybody
of
knew.
Of course. Everyone knows. Fucking
knows. Like it wasn't really a big surprise.
Everyone knows.
But just him
sex.
Publicly acknowledging was kind of like, woo.
So one of the big things from that era that it became a couple thing too was Jessica Biel and Justin after that, right? Do you think it was better with Britney? Or was it a one-up going to Biel?
This is, again...
He was with Cameron Diaz for 5 years before that, though.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I've never been a fan of Cameron Diaz.
I was a fan of Cameron Diaz when she was in the Underoos at the beginning of the first Charlie's Angels movie. That's it.
She
ended up marrying Benji Madden from Good Charlotte.
Oh, wow.
Ugh.
They've been married for a while, actually.
Good Charlotte.
Yeah.
No. Cameron Diaz in the Mask.
That was her first movie.
Yeah, and it's the hottest she's ever been.
But she was like 20.
She hasn't aged well, is what you're saying.
I'm saying that she went anorexic, and that's not a good thing.
Fair enough.
All right.
She is Puerto Rican.
What's not
she
a good thing
is
letting us talk any further about any kind of music video shit on this episode. We have more than done our time here. Thank you so much for listening to another amazing episode of Geeks Under the Influence. Obviously, we didn't even barely scratch the surface on the number of videos. I mean, of course, we can't cover, like, but 80, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, like...
But almost
40 years.
Yeah.
40 years of music. Yeah, like we didn't talk about pop-up videos hardly at all. Like we did a little, but we didn't talk about CMT or BET or any of the like Fuse or any of the
Box.
Oh,
God. Box.
All the spinoffs that came off of it. But you know what? That's why we have social media. So we can continue the conversation with you guys later. So if you want to talk more about your favorite videos or other channels that you came to know and love, Fuse, when it first came out, I fucking loved.
Yes.
Which was a Canadian music video station.
Much Music
was another
music.
One.
Much Music.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Digging deep.
I like it. I like it. No, for real, though. Like, yeah, I watched
love
that. Absolutely.
Much Music.
Continue the conversation on our social media. Hit us up on our voicemail or hotline number. You can leave voicemails or text messages at 804-505-4484. 804-505-4GY. Our email is geeksundertheinfluence@gmail.com. And all of our contact info and social media info is at geypodcast.com. Also, rate and review us anywhere you get your shows, Apple Podcast or anywhere else. And make sure to check out the other shows on the network. We've got 9 shows currently as of this week and 10 by probably next week. So we've got a bunch more planned because apparently I am going to work myself until I die. So that's the... So until that happens, I am Mike the Hobbit. And as we say, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit.
Join us or die, or I will swallow your soul. Necronomicon gives us power to rise from the dead. You play to take, our play begins to spread. You can fight all you want, cause you fail to resist. We're here to take the world, and rule with an iron fist. So join us or die.
GUIPodcast.com.
Oh, butt dumpling.